Welcome to Minority Corner, where we take an introspective look at the world through an intersectional lens. I'm James, he, him, his. I'm a queer, political, actor, activist, comedian, Cancerian, self-proclaimed, sexy blurred. That's a black nerd. And each week, I'm joined in the corner by another fabulous minority where we tackle the news, pop culture, politics, media, history, and more, all with a little self-care and self-love sprinkled throughout.
And I'm Aneke Fitz-Clark, the co-creator of this damn podcast. And I'm back. She, her, right? That's it. She that's and her. It. Yep, there's not a third it. One? Is there a past tense? Herses? Anyways, I'm a librarian. If you bitches have been listening to past episodes, you know who I am. I'm happy to be back.
Confused on who to vote for? What? I mean, don't worry. Aneke and I have a new campaign and slogan that is sure to help you figure it out. And it's kind of sexy. At least it is to me. In the age of Corona, what's going to happen with the future of movie theaters? We have some ideas. And how come some directors just can't read the room of Corona? Like, give it up. Some of these movies and directors just keep trying to make fetch happen. We have a huge coming attractions news roundup from a musical based on some historical mathematician ladies who we've been talking about for ages. It's like we've been predicting that they were just going to be filling our lives with their stories for years to come. And the trailer for Lovecraft Country on HBO. And also, there's a black remake of a beloved 90s show. And Aneke blows my mind with just some facts, some pop cultural facts that you literally are going to witness the explosion of my brain. So with all of this, there's also a lot of new black horror movies coming out. So it gets us into a discussion about what makes good horror in this black horror movie renaissance. Sounds like I'm just saying horror a lot. I ask Aneke about her experience of dealing with misogyny in the workplace on the heels of what our future president one day, AOC, experienced from Senator Yahoo or whatever. That idiot. And in other fuck you GOP news, apparently slavery was a necessary evil. And there we talk about the bill they are trying to pass to make sure we are taught no different. Ugh, gotta vote. And in the main event, Aneke takes us through a detailed recounting of the Rosewood Massacre in 1920s Florida. She does a terrific job of just setting up what led up to these events and how it mirrors what we see happening to black people today. And as you all know, it is the Max Fun Drive. It is usually when we release our bonus content for the year. And we've heard from a lot of people how much the bonus content is really helping to brighten their days, which makes us so happy to know that you're appreciating the content that we're putting out there. And Minority Corner, we had already done our bonus content episode, which is myself and Aneke debriefing The Watchmen Inside and Out, and also sisters Debbie Allen and Felicia Rashad's hidden music video from the 80s that you may have missed out on, and you're going to want to get our play-by-play recounting of this visual masterpiece. So right now also just seems like a great time to remind you that the bonus content is there for you if you want to join. And if you've already joined, so you're already devouring it up. So you can become a member quite easy. All you have to do is just go to MaximumFun.org/join, and you're just going to choose the amount that fits your budget. I know there's a lot of things that's going on for certain folks, so find the level that works for you. If you want to join, you can do $5 a month, $10 a month, $20, and so on. There is a level for everybody to be able to get in on the fun to support these shows and get that delicious bonus content. Oh, also, the second bonus content we have coming at you, like Cleopatra, is we're doing a Minority Corner Town Hall. It is hopefully going to be a video release, and you can get it in podcast form, but it's going to be myself, Aneke, comedian Shantira Jackson, who's been on the show years ago, politician Kyle Ishmael, Bruce from the VR video game world, Jennifer Covington, self-help, self-love guru, and Trey Val from Fanti. So it is going to be a family affair, having a really beautiful, deep conversation around race. And that's hopefully going to be coming at you within this last week of the fund drive for our members. So definitely want to be able to get in on that delicious content video. Can I say content any more times? Content, content, content. So again, you're going to want to find the level that works for you to be able to support not only this show, but other shows. And if you are already a member and maybe you've not let Maximum Fun know that you're also listening to Minority Corner, definitely log on in and make sure to check the box. So again, just head to MaximumFun.org/join to sign up and see all the cool gifts available, because you're not just, you know, becoming a member, you're also getting really cool stuff. So see what the gifts are and see what you're going to be getting coming your way. In addition to the bonus content, so many great, cool things. So all right, well, let's jump into the show. It's time to learn, laugh, and play right here on Minority Corner. Woman, yeah. Microphone,
yes.
Couch,
yes.
Nipple,
nope.
Earphones.
Covered. Yeah, we're doing that. What is this association with
it's
me?
It's my cognitive test. So that means I can be president of the United States.
Oh, yes.
Had to get it in there. He's an idiot. Less than 100 days to the election. Go vote.
And if you are mailing in your ballot, please give it 2 weeks. So you have 80 days till the election. So please don't be like, hey, I'm just going to mail this in on November 3rd. No, this is vital.
Why do people wait? Like, I literally had, I won't say, but there was a member of my family as the primaries were kicking around. They're like, oh, I should be mailing that. I'm like, oh, it's today. Just sitting there. Like, mail-in ballot. Like, you get it? You know who, if you don't know who you're voting for president, like, we need to have a conversation.
Right. Now,
like, you tweet, you private message me on the Twitter, and we are having a conversation. I'm gonna FaceTime you.
DM James
ASAP.
Or I, because
even Aneki will get in on this.
I'll get into shit. I'll help you figure it out. It's easy. I'll be like, "Are you racist?" And they'll be like, "I don't think I am." And like, then you're voting for Joe Biden.
There we
Done.
Go. Yeah.
Goodbye.
All right. Well, there's that. So, well, we just solved the election. So, also today we're recording this is National Vote by Mail Day, which just means go ahead and fill out the paperwork. Do what you got to do.
Yes.
Make sure, and I would say find 5 other people in your family and friend circle and tell them to do the same thing. And this is like kind of like a text mail. And then have them, we're going to chain mail this shit, right?
Ooh.
Like, you know,
we need a better name for it, because chain mail has a negative connotation.
I know. I was thinking like chain
hand-holding.
Friends.
We're gonna handhold
that.
Okay, that's right. We're gonna hug it out. No, we're gonna ricochet the vote. Ripple the vote. Ripple the mail.
Ripple. Ripple the mail just makes me think of strippers, like male strippers, like doing body rolls.
I mean,
I just saw big chest, nipples, and muscles. It's been a long time, so maybe.
All I think about is water, just skipping a stone into some water, because I'm in an introspective mood. So that's
we went into very different. Yeah. I went to Vegas and went to the lake.
I wish I went to your world, because mine is what's going on.
Oh, I have a question for you. Speaking of what's going on, I have two, since I have the lady of the corner here.
Who's that?
Not you.
Oh.
Not to be confused with the lady of the lake.
No, thanks. Bad movie.
Keep her in the lake, Bryce Callis Mallard.
Wow.
Bryce Terrence Howard. Bryce.
Bryce Dallas Howard.
My brain can't. The synapses.
I know. Movie was terrible.
Millicent
M. Night
Howard
Shyamalan,
Tower.
You really disappointed us with that one. Then you lifted us up again with whatever that one that came out, and then dropped us back down again.
Well, it just goes to show how men can fuck up in this industry and still, you know, make movies.
Privilege.
Speaking of movies, so I want to give Snap something that you and I have been talking about. The movie keeps getting kicked down the can. Remember because it keeps we're like waiting for the movie.
I know.
And so there's a movie that is finally that's got a director. Ooh. And you might remember this. This came around the time of Wakanda Forever, also known as Black Panther.
But so there's like going to be a movie 4 or 5 years ago.
2 years ago, 2018. I know.
Feels time like 30,000 years ago.
But there is this movie that was going to be about essentially these black Amazons who fought off in Africa, the kingdom of Dahomey. That's don't look at me like that. That's their name.
The I mean, it isn't a Minority Corner podcast unless you're mispronouncing something. And let's face it.
You.
I know, but I'm just a guest host this time.
Okay, you're not my fault. I'm just a guest. Did I say that wrong?
Am I this is a new territory. I just, thanks for inviting me onto this this podcast I've never heard of before. Didn't do my research.
God, listen. Anyways, the kingdom of Dahomey in the 18th and 19th centuries, they were all female military unit. They were Amazons. They fought off the French.
Yes.
Good, my ex-boyfriend. So fight them off.
Okay, make personal, sure. Colonialism, ex-boyfriend,
other tribes as well. Anyways, it's got a director. So we already know Viola Davis is in it. Lupita Nyong'o, we don't know. She's on the fence. Should have got off the pot.
Okay, she's thinking about it.
But the director is going to be my girl, Gina Prince-Blythewood.
Oh, she's doing all sorts of action movies.
She just did The Old Guard.
Yes, fabulous. Action.
She was supposed to do Silver and Sable, the Spider-Man universe spinoff movie.
Clearly it needed her because that came and disappeared into the ether like magic.
Yeah, she left that. But she said her ideas are still on the table. So anyways, super excited about that. That's getting some movement.
That's going to be good. I'm excited about that. That's going to be real good. That's going to be a nice movie to go into a theater and watch at some point, maybe in my mid-40s.
Yeah, I think it's a safe bet to just be like, that might not,
ever happen again.
Streaming is the way to go.
I know. Some movie studios are like...
They were smart. Some were ahead of the game.
But some of them are really not wanting to give up on hope.
Tenet.
Yes, what's going on?
They moved their movie 4 times. Every time they moved it, so they kicked it back just like 2 weeks. I was like...
Idiots.
What do you do? Like, this is even back in like March, April. I was like, not Hamilton, In the Heights was like, see you next year. No, Fast and the Furious was the first one to be like, see you in April. They already knew. Vroom, deuces.
I know, into the sunset. We need to let them figure this shit out. Back when I was saying things like, in July, I'll be able to enjoy my summer. I hope people don't go too crazy in July when this is all over. Idiot Neke.
You know what it really was? Fast and the Furious was my Cassandra. When I saw them zoom all the way till next year, I was like, they be knowing. And then when Lin-Manuel Miranda, Vin Diesel and his team, they smart. You don't make 9 movies and not
learn a thing or two. You better learn
some
something.
Some data. And then when In the Heights was like, see you next year as well, I was like, this isn't going to be... And then Tenet just can't seem to read the room.
They aren't. They're like, but we want people to see this action movie.
Yeah, try for next year. And if that don't work, then you just keep pushing it along. I think in general... Put a pause on any big live action sort of stuff. Everything should be streaming.
Take
I'm glad that Marvel already was starting to do some Disney Plus stuff because you could do maybe some smaller scale. Just, two characters in a room talking about their superpowers.
Get us primed. Be like, I can't wait to use my powers next year.
Okay, Wanda, what you gotta do?
Exactly.
It's essentially what WandaVision is gonna be. It's just her in a room in her mind with different people. And it's on track to still come out this year.
I'll watch it because it's gonna be Wanda. Streaming. I'd be happy to watch that. I need content in my house.
Yeah.
Do you think that these movies that they're like insisting on coming out have dated ass material? Like they don't want it to come out next year because it's going to be like, Trump is our president.
We'll be like, he not. He got flown off to the moon.
Please.
So he got banished to the moon. And
get that man a crater. Put him in a crater.
Here's something to think about one day in the future when we can maybe see things in person.
Okay.
I'll sing you a song of what I think it's going to be. It's going to be like, I'm a black woman doing the numbers, rocket up to the moon. Hidden Figures, the musical. Hidden Figures,
you really
the
think
musical.
They're going to do Hidden Figures? Are they doing Hidden Figures, the musical?
Yeah, that's it. I'm trying to get you excited. Like, this is the one thing that we have predicted. They keep milking that episode. We were like, oh, there should be content about these ladies who
But a musical just seems a little like, what are they going to do? Like, I'm a human computer. Math, racism.
Computer.
Sexism.
Computer.
Math, racism. Sexism.
I got to go to the bathroom.
Hot take.
I gotta hold it together.
Hot take. Boring.
Wow. No, because think about, like, they could do special effects. It'll be like, oh, it'll have a countdown number 10. We gotta get the rocket in the air.
That's the 9, end. That's the end,
8,
though. The
7,
whole thing.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, woo!
Just like,
we're black women and we're doing it up. We can count 1, 2, 3. Don't you know me? I gotta see about that man
James,
over there. I said
no.
Racism. You get out my way. Well, we know who's writing this one. I can finally become my dream of being Lin-Manuel Martin.
Durander. I don't know if I was trying to...
James Manuel Miranda.
James Manuel Miranda.
I need his last name. He's got
Miranda. I know, it's good. But it's like, I don't know. And I know that they can make musicals out of anything. Any, like, Dear
King
Evan
Kong.
Hansen sounds fucking terrible to me. I'm sorry.
I've got a cast. Hot... Isn't that, that's all I know. He's got a cast and I think he's gay.
He like pretends to be friend.
Gay?
No, he pretends that he was friends with a kid who killed himself.
Is anybody gay in it?
No. Just the lead actors are gay in their life.
Oh, I got it.
In their life, they're gay.
I knew there was something gay about that.
But the character
but there's nothing explicitly
is straight,
gay?
I
don't care.
And he's like falls in
Next.
Love with the kid who killed himself's sister. I'm like, why are people in love with this musical?
Those people are weird and nasty. Sorry, I was thinking about someone in particular. Anyways, last thing on the coming attractions. Oh, well, two things. One.
Okay.
Lee Daniels is going to be doing a Wonder Years spinoff.
No.
From a black perspective. Okay, great. Not even-
I know. Lee
cool,
Daniels, what's he going to do? He's going to put another kid in a trash can? I'm sick of Lee Daniels.
He's got a motif. Listen, if Martin Scorsese can do New York pictures, he can
true.
Put kids in trash cans.
Exactly. And you know what else was boring? The Irishman.
Oh, yeah. I mean, some people need to just, you know,
hang
give
it up.
I mean, also talking about people who won't give up. I don't want people to give up on their dreams, but like maybe just think realistically. Hey, you'll never guess what got postponed again.
What?
The new Avatar sequels.
Okay, hang it up, James Cameron. And these aren't people giving up on these dreams. These are old, rich, white men who have been doing the same boring shit their whole life. Hang it up. Enjoy your money. Get on a super yacht. Leave us alone.
I think that James Cameron should maybe just move into just doing visual effects directing. I think he could, for other things, like if he linked up with Marvel or something, like he has been working on these Avatar movies that nobody asked for
nobody
for
20 asked for,
years.
Literally.
And then was like, there's going to be 5 of them.
And
we're like,
are
okay,
like,
just
what?
Give us. Okay, but can you just at least give us just one? Ooh, I'm going to push it back another 2 years. And
yeah, like, and also Disney World, he forced Disney World to have their own Avatar land. Like, what the fuck? Nobody gives a shit. I kind of want to see it, but that's about it. Not it's like kinda
good enough for him. That's all he needed. Billions of dollars coming his way.
Oh, so him and Andy Serkins needs to just go with a
Whoa.
Motion capture suit.
Okay, I thought you what? Meant just go.
Oh but, no, okay. Like you were saying, like their visual studio.
I was like,
they
that's
can, like,
random. You're coming for Andy Serkins?
No, because Andy. I mean, James Cameron needs somebody.
Oh yeah, to be in his like suit,
his
to
suit.
Just be like, he's always the go-to person. They're like, so we just want to put this mocap suit on. I got it.
Because he's like the pro. Apparently, he's like the best at it.
He's got, you know what? He needs to create a school because one day, God has forbid, when it's his time to go, all that amazing mocap information will be gone with him.
You
he
know
is
what?
The Meryl Streep, Viola Davis of motion capture.
That
Say their
can
names.
Do it.
Name one. Name one. I guess maybe Benedict Cumberbatch because he was Didn't he do Smog himself?
Yeah, he did. Yes. He put so on the suit. So there's people that are doing it. He put the suit on.
Lupita Nyong'o, she did a good job too. In the new Star Wars trilogy.
Like, they're doing it. Andy Serkis is just Serkis?
He's the name brand.
Mm-hmm. He's just the one that knows how to do it.
No, I like Andy Serkis's.
Serkis's.
Okay, this is one that one of our listeners in the Corner Kids Club specifically asked us to comment about, and it is the trailer for And You as well.
Wow, thank you. Remember me. It's like Coco. My picture has not vanished. I am still on that.
Oh, and I'm going to take some notes on that because I could see that being one of the numbers in the Hidden Figures musical that I have contracted myself.
Did you not just hear? It's already a song.
Oh, well, everything old is new again.
You totally blanked out on that last sentence that I just said. I said it's from Coco.
You know when I get an idea, I stop listening to everybody else. Oh, too busy thinking about. Okay, so Lovecraft Country.
Lovecraft Country.
Oh, just when you think like, oh, HBO, they're done. Nope. They hit you with like, I have come to this realization, you have to have an HBO. You have to have access to HBO.
HBO is great. Golden.
Constantly. Put out good content. They sorry, Stars.
Stars.
Sorry, Showtime. Showtime. You know, I want to see Black Monday, but not enough to like have to pay for a subscription.
I should watch Black Monday. I watched Jesus and really Miro good. On Showtime, and that's excellent content.
Lovecraft Country. It's got gonna be so my good. Girl, Journey Smollett.
She needs a collector brother, though.
Oh, what do you do?
Jesse Smollett.
That's her brother?
Yeah.
What?
They're like a Jackson 5 family. There's like 10 million of them, and they're all actors.
I can't do the rest of the
Did
show.
I literally just...
My brain just blew up. It's like that time when I realized that Rebecca Romaine Stamos and John Stamos were dating, married.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I think Rebecca Romaine Stamos and John Stamos are dating. And my sister was like, they're married.
That's why they have the same last name.
I thought they just had the same last name. It's like when Penelope Cruz and Tom Cruise were dating.
Spelled differently.
Okay, I am not an alphabet thesaurus. Am I a dictionary?
No. Not a thesaurus. James! Okay. Well, anyways, yes, there's like 10 million of them. They had a show together. One of them has like a cooking show and they'll like all pop in there.
I love her. She was in Birds of Prey. She does an amazing job as Black Canary.
He's by you since the beginning, man.
Oh, yeah. Or even in Full House.
Yes, she is the center point of the Smollettes.
Yes,
they've all rippled off of her successes.
Let Brother Jesse go off.
Jesse needs to figure his shit out.
Oh, but the show looks amazing. I have to warn folks, I watch too many trailers. You know I don't like spoilers.
There's only two trailers.
One of them gave me way too much. There was one that was just enough of a teaser to be like, what is this world? Like, we're back in like the 50s, the 60s.
Yes.
It's kind of like got themes of like blackness and property and inheritance sort of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something supernatural otherworldly.
Hecka supernatural, not even
right?
like a whisper. It's like, this is a freaky show.
Don't you watch the right trailer. The other one that I watched was like, and here's all the freaky stuff that's gonna happen. Then you're gonna have this and this. And I'm like, stop it! Don't stop it! So just mark your DVRs. It's coming out in August. There's a new theme of, I think, like Black historical horror.
I mean, you know why? Because Jordan Peele's involved in this too.
Oh, mm-hmm.
It's based off of a book, first and foremost.
Snap. Okay, got some source material.
Yes, Lovecraft Country, you know, so this H.P. Lovecraft.
Oh, J.J. Abrams is also involved, too, throwing some money
at it. Which is, excellent, gonna be good. H.P. Lovecraft is a big science fiction writer that a lot of people know about, and one of his big, and this isn't a spoiler, honestly, I'm sorry, guys, but if you know about H.P. Lovecraft, you know about the giant squid, Cthulhu. That was one of his big, A Thousand Leagues Under the Sea. That's like the big bad monster that is known by H.P. Lovecraft. So the fact that this is Lovecraft country means that there's going to be supernatural.
We're going into his world.
Yeah, his world is going to be infused with themes of segregation and racism.
Ooh. It's like someone at HBO is doing amazing stuff because you think this comes on the heels of The Watchmen.
Yes.
They also did that one show that was, I only watched the first episode. There's too much content, but there was the one that was like about like if the Nazis started to infiltrate over here in the US. I mean, I love me some Winona Ryder.
Plot Against America.
Yes, it seemed really interesting. It just, I think the pacing was just too slow for me. But just the kind of content that HBO is creating where it's sort of sci-fi. Like I am at this point right now where it's like, I want to be entertained, but I also have this need to like be also educating myself in a certain way. And it sort of like mirrors both. I feel less guilty about like if I'm like taking some time to watch some things, I'm like, oh, well, I'm being inspired and educated and learning something about our culture, our society, history.
Oh my God. Like right now I'm watching on HBO, they have Perry Mason, which is, it's almost like a prequel to the original Perry Mason show.
Actor who I love was in The Americans, which The Americans was such a fucking amazing show.
He's excellent in the show. And they made the show because Perry Mason was white town, right?
That's why I was like, I'm not watching this.
They have done a good job, except for one part when they show like, Asian lady prostitutes where it's only like the only like Asian ladies is like a prostitute house, which is like, okay, come on guys, whatever. But which is pinpoint bad, right? I'm gonna acknowledge that. But they his love interest is a Mexican woman, Mexican American woman who has way more money than him and owns his farm. And she's like very much like she flies a plane and she's in charge of her shit. And she's like proudly like Mexican American, which I think is awesome. And then also one of the characters that was in the original Perry Mason, he's black in this one. And they show what it's like to be a black cop and the racism within the police force and what his family is like and his wife. And they go into what black people are dealing with at the time. So I like that HBO is acknowledging this shit. You know, it isn't like, oh, we're going to redo Perry Mason and just make it a white show again. It's like, no, this is for now.
If we're going to go back and do it, like, let's acknowledge what was being left out of it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think, too, going back to something like, so there's this new genre of horror, like black horror. And I think it's an interesting way to, like, horror movie at its best is actually going to dissect issues of the culture. Like that, some of the best horror movie stuff will do that. You look at like Hitchcock, and that's why Get Out was so interesting because it was having this sort of conversation, or the new Candyman that's coming out is going to go even deeper. And Jordan Peele's attached to that. Like he really is become like the new sort of Alfred
Hitchcock.
There's that Antebellum movie that got postponed with okay. The concept looks interesting. It has Janelle Monáe. Yeah. And you feel about Janelle Monáe's acting the way that I do about Mary J. Blige in general.
Yeah, but like, with one caveat, I love Janelle Monáe's music. I think she's a genius with music.
And I love Mary J. Blige's early work.
Okay, there we go. I'm glad. That's growth, James. Growth.
Ah, she lost me at fine.
G-R-O-W-T-H. Okay. Janelle Monáe cannot act. I'm sorry. I'm just going to put that out there in the world. So you're sorry, not Janelle. Enjoy. I love you.
You will not like Homecoming season 2.
Maybe I will. Maybe she's grown in acting.
She's not in all the scenes, so that's helpful.
Have you watched it?
I did.
Is it good?
Easy, quick. It's only 7 episodes. They're only like, 20 or 30 minutes. They're very short.
Okay.
And it's got the woman who played Lady True in Homecoming.
Oh, I love her.
It is going to take you, it's very Alfred Hitchcock. It's going to take you on a ride and a journey. That's all I'm going to say. Journey Smollett. I could just plug her for a second. To tangent though, I love that like in the trailer, Journey Smollett's character just looks like such a badass. And I just love that that's where we are.
Oh, Lovecraft.
That you can, County. And Lovecraft. Yeah, Lovecraft County.
Lovecraft. Lovecraft.
Okay, I wanted to check your opinion about something.
Yes.
So I want to give two fuck yous to members of Congress.
Wow. Where's my opinion?
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. What I meant was, listen to my opinion, girl.
I know,
girl,
exactly.
And tell me how right I am. No. So there's two. One, I want to check and see, has this ever happened to you?
Ooh, okay.
And, well, I guess the first one, let's start with Senator Yahoo or Yoho.
Yoho.
I'm calling him Senator Yahoo.
I mean, that works.
And he essentially, so if you haven't seen this in the news, I mean, it was
look
in the news
up,
for three
please.
Days. Like, where
Jeez.
Were you? So our future president, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
I'm going to be so happy
down.
On the inaugural day of that.
First time everyone's been waiting for a woman to get older. Well, in a non-creepy way.
Yeah, I was going to say, catch yourself.
Olsen twins. Y'all
Yuck,
are nasty.
That's so gross. Not them,
Anyways,
but the world.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well.
Okay. We're getting it. Okay. AOC.
AOC. She's doing her job, doing her thing, inspiring people. And Yahoo is essentially just like coming up, being an idiot, being like, fuck you, you're a bitch, essentially.
Yeah,
like,
they get into a fight on the steps of...
She was on her way to go vote.
Yeah.
In Congress. Yeah.
Well, they got into a heated argument.
Oh,
on the steps of the House, they got into a heated argument. And at the end of the argument, he called her a fucking bitch.
Right. Yeah. And so then he gave a non-apology. And we will link this.
The
her
worst.
Speech that she gives in response, 9 minutes of just beautifulness. She doesn't even look at, she doesn't use notes. She just speaks exactly from the heart. And, you know, he tried to use scapegoat that, like, I'm not going to apologize for, you know, I'm a father and
a
husband. I'm a Christian. He dared use and was slap in the face to anybody who holds any sort of spiritual values. It really is sickening and disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
And she calls attention how, yeah, he is a father and he is this and he still used these words because I am someone's daughter. I am, you know, essentially a human being. And
right.
It just kind of made me think about how many other women have had to deal with such aggressive male toxic energy.
Oh, yeah, all the time. That's like, I mean, it's not even like it's to the point where it's not even that I have... There's standout times, but it's just so fluid constantly to the innocuous things where there was a coworker that told me I look tired all the time. And I had to say, you can't do that to the higher up on the rings where it's my status. There's different ranks of librarian. There's associate librarian, assistant librarian, and senior librarian. And that's like levels of experience and time. Mm-hmm. I am ranked librarian because I've been a librarian for 10 plus years. I've run a library. I have experience. I know what I'm doing. So that's when I entered. But then to have certain co-workers refer to me as assistant or associate librarian, that stuff has happened.
Wow.
And then when you're intersectional, like I was, and I guess I still am because in the academic world, I'm still relatively young. You got to think like, well, are they being discriminated against me because I'm black? Is it because I'm a woman? Mm-hmm. Is it because I'm younger? Is it all three? Is it the combination of a couple of those? Is it because I have natural hair? It's all of these different things that kind of invade your mind that you constantly have to like kind of push out and just trudge forward. You know, I've never, thankfully, thank God, have never been called a fucking bitch at work.
Right. Yeah.
But I have been excluded from hangouts. I've been excluded from certain meetings. I've found out about things later. I've been left off of email chains. I've been, you know, I've walked into rooms and things have hushed up. Mm-hmm. I have been left off of documents that, you know, needed to be signed to, you know, it's constant.
Right.
You know,
and those things that you... It's so, what's so sad about hearing this is those things that you have learned to cope and deal with. It's part of the armor that you've used to navigate and these things that you have to think about. And that it's just like, well, this is all part of how I still move through and how people like you and AOC still are successful in spite of this. And that he felt emboldened that he could say something like this on our taxpayer dollars,
I know.
To representing his constituents to say this. And, you know, she's her and the other women of Congress, women of color. Shout out to, like, there's a record number of Black women running for Congress this year.
Yes.
Which is like, snaps. We need that. Which, like, Black women specifically have been the most consistent voting bloc of the Democratic Party. Yes, they are the backbone of the Democratic Party. So don't come for Black women when they are these saviors. Of they're the backbone of, like, holding the moral fabric of this fucking country
Thank
and have been
you.
Doing the weight lifting.
I
so.
Know. But here's the thing. Here's the problem. I mean, people like Yoho get away with this shit because they know that the repercussions aren't going to be harsh on them. Mm-hmm. He's still a politician. Nobody's trying to take away his jobs. You know, people are still going to probably vote him in because here's the problem with the patriarchy. It isn't just men. It's women who are subscribing to it as well. Yep. When I went in, and I just have to say this really quickly, but when I at 28 became the head librarian of a high school library, I had two women who were my direct reports, and they were both in their 60s. They both were white, and they, you know, had ties to the school that I didn't have ties to, and partially was Black, but I think it was mostly because I was a young woman. They came into the position and did not want to listen to me. It was so bad that I had to have the vice principal of the school sit in during our library meetings to insist that they listen and pay attention to what I had to say. That's Patriarchy is a system, and I really want to really, 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 really emphasize that it's these systems that are at play and that we all subscribe to them. So while we look to people like Yoho, who are comically villains, you know, it's still the inner workings of, you know, things like, oh, I'm a boy mom and I get special treatment because I have sons and I treat my sons different than my daughters. It's these sort of things that we all tend to subscribe to that perpetuate these ideals that then grow and bundle and get bigger and bigger and bigger until an amazing, incredible, powerful politician can get called a fucking bitch.
Yeah, right. His colleague. And again, we can disagree on the issues and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But when it gets to that, just to undercut, literally just to, like, dehumanize, devalue anything that she's to say because, boom, this is what you are. Mm-hmm. But I appreciated AOC's speech. It was beautiful. And as she said, bitches get things done. So go fuck yourselves. Yahoo. Another person who can, I've been saying this, I have plenty of fucks to dish out.
Yeah.
Some people are like, I don't have any fucks to give. I do. I'll give them out.
Who
fuck
doesn't
you,
have any
fuck
fucks
you,
to give
fuck
at
you.
This point? This is like, are you kidding me?
Everybody needs to have lots of fucks to give.
Yes.
Senator Tom Cotton.
Oh, God. This guy again?
So Senator Tom Cotton essentially was on the floor. He's trying to do the Saving American History Act of 2020 that would essentially cut off federal professional development funds from any school district that teaches a curriculum linked to the 1619 Project that was produced by the New York Times, which goes in deep in detail to the breadth. It's over the, you know, 400-year anniversary since the first slave ship landed here in the U.S. The 1619 Project is diving in deep into its historical context, because he essentially quotes and says that, you know, it was just as the founding fathers said, it was the necessary evil upon which this union was built. We don't need to go any deeper into it because that was the necessary evil.
He hates Black
processing.
People.
Oh, well, yeah. Not even subtext. That's not even subtext. It's just like, oh, yeah.
He hates black people.
Got it.
And you want to cover up. I fucking hate that he's calling it the Save American History.
Yes, because in fact, you're actually erasing. It's doing the very opposite of that. The 1619 Project is to say this is the American history, right? We need to look at every wart and every bloody thing that is the ugliness of the history of America, so we can then move on and heal from it.
That's how you
learn.
He
himself is the exact reason of why we need to be teaching things like the 1619 Project in schools, because of his ignorance.
Fuck that guy. Fuck that guy. That, like,
See,
really...
that's why I had all those fucks.
I know. That, like, how... dare you? How dare, like, okay, there's two different fucks right here, right?
Mm-hmm. The first okay,
fuck,
yeah.
I know. So the first fuck to Yaho or whatever, that fucking guy, is, mm-hmm. okay, gross. You're gross. You feel like you're so emboldened that you can call one of your colleagues a fucking bitch and just lay it out like that. Heat of the moment, gross, inexcusable, disgusting. But even more pervasive, even more disgusting, even more vile to me is to set up a way to hold back money from people trying to correctly educate. This is just as bad as making enslaved people illiterate, not allowing right. them to learn. Because when you withhold education, you withhold enlightenment. Mm. And that is what he's doing. So that is vile to me.
Right.
The fact that he is withholding federal money from people trying to educate about American history.
Yes.
And then to name it Saving American.
Right.
Tom Cotton can... I got all the fucks to give and I don't give a fuck what happens to him. I hope that he, like, I don't know. He should be fired for that.
Right. And we have an opportunity, like, again, vote these people out. Cotton should be voted out. Yahoo should be voted out.
Yes.
And this is why it's so important. Like, this is, again, like, so much is at stake for this election. Bullshit bills like this, right? That come down, or the things that end up, or, you know, people to be able to protect our black students. There was the girl who was failing to complete her coursework and was sentenced. She was, I guess, had community service. She goes to a white school. She was under probation. She was under probation, and underneath COVID, schools canceled. To the you know, she had something to do distance learning, and because she didn't complete her coursework, she's back in May 15th. She was sentenced to a detention center.
What?
Oh, yeah. A young black girl. She was sentenced
because she didn't do her work. They sent her to jail, essentially.
Yes. Judge Mary Ellen Brennan. That was the ruling. And this is in Michigan. So, again, this is like, it just, I feel like I'm back in these slave times. And that's why we need to be learning our history and learning how these laws are so systemic and so ingrained in our society that this young black girl who goes to predominantly white school is getting this punishment. How is that going to help her?
How? It's like you gotta really hate black people. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the thing that I'm, like, getting older and older, like, really kind of understanding is the hate that is just running through. Like, I knew that there is, you know, racism and always, like, you know, disgust and discomfort, but it's a deep hatred people have.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, how disgusting is your life to hold that hatred within you?
Yep. Nope. Totally. So there's that. And then just to cap off that the section that, you know, I think Hannah Jones, who she came up with the 1619 Project, she calls out Tom Cotton. She says, listen, it was when they called slavery a necessary evil upon which the Union was built, because either you agree with their assessment of slavery as necessary or you admit that they were lying and it was just evil and dishonorable. Like, it's okay to call what we did in the past bad and terrible, no good, we don't do that.
Yes.
It's 110%.
Hey, in fact, it's encouraged.
You should. You know what? Burning women because they were, you know, badasses and speaking out.
Guess what?
Bad. That was bad. There's
was
no
terrible.
Like, oh, that was, because by saying a necessary evil is what evil people do to justify their actions.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I'm not thinking like, oh, okay, well, I was like a goody ass two shoe Capricorn kid, but I mean, let's see, what's something shitty that I did? Okay, I stayed out way past my curfew and lied about it.
Ooh,
right?
I'm telling. Okay.
Ooh, oh no. Right? I'm not gonna say it's a necessary evil that I needed to do to, like, learn from. No, it was some bad shit that I did as a nasty ass teenager.
Sorry, Mom. That was a necessary evil that I needed to do. So you could. For why? Like, okay.
I know, exactly.
And, like, just saying that sentence, You sound like an evil ass person.
You sound like a dick.
You sound like an evil ass person. You
were gonna. Know.
Oh God. So. All right, so we're super excited for the Maximum Fun Drive, and there's a lot of folks who are becoming members. Aneke, let's go to the Twitter wall and see what some of the kids are saying about becoming a member here at Maximum Fun.
Okay, well, this tweet here from Dev says, "Hey friends, Maximum Fun is an organization of artist-owned and audience-supported network of podcasts, and they're currently doing a longer and very low-key version of their annual pledge drive, as they understand that this year is especially rough for a ton of people. Each year since I discovered their network, I've started listening to more and more of their podcasts. They're all incredible people, and they could really use some extra support. I'd love it if you consider donating or at least checking out some of their many podcasts like Minority Corner, Fanti Podcast, Wonderful Podcast, The Zone Cast, Brother, My Brother and Me, The Greatest Trek, Sawbones, JV Club Podcast, and so many more that range from hilarious to interesting. Learn more at MaximumFun.org. Thanks, Max Drive.
Yay. Yes. Oh, man. I love it. And yeah, we're just doing things a little bit differently. We understand everything that's going on, but at the same time, we want this content across the network to still be supported so we can continue bringing it out to the folks. And I want to read a tweet. This one is coming from at KT Marlena One. They wrote, "At my Minority Corner just helped me find a resource I will be able to use for my job. Can I officially put listening to Minority Corner podcast on my timesheet?" And then they also said, "And of course, I became a new member of at MaxFun HQ to support your show. Thank you for the wonderful content."
Wonderful. This one, hey, I'm going to read this one from Esserette. And they say, "Just became a member of MaxFun.
My Brother and Me,
Minority Corner, and the Zone Cast have given me so much joy through the pandemic and for the past few years. If you never heard of them, check them out. And if you have heard of them and have the means, consider donating."
Ah, I love that. Yes, becoming a member. Sweet. It's just great to hear everybody. And just honestly, we're just in such awe of our community, just how, you know, it's a lot of stuff that's going on, but I think all the content that is coming together right now, and it's just, I feel very grateful just knowing that we're able to also be here for people in these times, being able to provide, you know, laughter, support, knowledge, comfort in these times that like are just unnavigated. And you all are a part of the community just by listening. You are supporting the community when you join as a member.
Yes, it's so true. You can see all the different membership levels and their corresponding gifts at MaximumFun.org/join. You get the bonus content sharing at $5 per month. Some folks give $50 or $100 a month, but it's most important that you give what's comfortable for your budget. Totally. We have a feeling you'll like being a member, and we want you to stick around.
Absolutely. And if you feel that the level that you're comfortable with is $10 a month, that's awesome. A lot of people, that's the level. So good news for you, because what's so dope that not only do you, if you are at the $10 level, not only do you get to choose a cool pin to wear, ours is lovely. It says, "Together We're the Majority."
Aww.
Super cute. And this week, all of our members at $10 and above have the option to purchase additional pins from the store. So you can, you can get more. Collect them all. They can be your Pokemons.
Oh my God, I love it. And all of the proceeds from the additional pin purchases go to charity. And there are so many great ones to choose. So please just go over to MaximumFun.org/join, sign up at $10 a month, and you can grab yourself some additional pins. You know, you got to decorate that jean jacket, and it's all for a great cause.
Snap, snap for the Grammagram with my pins. Hashtag pin life. Hashtag I'm about that pin life. Oh, man. We're just so grateful to all of our members that were able to keep creating this program right now. It's because of you that we're able to do it. So we're trying to navigate these crazy times as well. Your support helps us. It's like just a support circle. I feel like it's,
oh my God,
y'all are supporting us. We're supporting you. We are just social distancing, holding this together.
I love it. I mean, we got to do what we got to do, right?
We got to do. And so the members, you all allow us to keep being doing this and being here for you. So we hope that this continues to bring you some much needed joy, some solace, some comfort, some empowerment. I hope that this is just a warm, comforting hug each week as you come here. So head on over to MaximumFun.org/join to become a member.
Do it!
Well, take me to... Oh, we're not going
An
to
An uplifting corner. This
where are we
is
going
just
today?
Like
oh,
fun.
Are we
and...
just going to learn about Wakanda today?
I mean... No.
Okay, so, fair. Thank you. You know what? Just be honest with me. That's
what we
need.
I was thinking about flipping it. I was really thinking about flipping it. And it's so funny because, like, so the way that, you know, a little bit of sausage is made, James will shoot me a little bit of.
What if I'm vegetarian?
Sausages can be made out of fake
right,
meat.
I have been eating me some Beyond Meat and it's delicious.
See, it's not bad. Beyond Meat is pretty good.
Okay,
I actually got some Beyond Meat patties in my refrigerator right now. Impossible is not bad either.
The Impossible
burger at Burger King is good.
Okay.
But so is the chicken sandwich. But anyways,
fits with real meat, real chicken.
Yeah, you know, I'm not vegetarian.
So is Popeyes. Yeah, I'm the same. I just like to do a little dabble. I can't give it up completely because I'm not going to not eat my uncle's cooking. Like, and he be smoking that salmon.
And I feel like that's a good practice for everybody, for the earth. You know, if we all
eat
just became
meat.
A little bit vegetarian,
yeah.
healthier and better for the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... What the vegetarian sausage was made, how it was made.
Yes.
James will shoot me like a couple of corners that he's like thinking about doing. And then one of the corners we actually doubled up on because in the last time I was on the show, I talked about Marcus Garvey's wives. And one of them was like a... I guess she pumped up and supported people in England where there was a massacre that happened with black people. And I was thinking about doing that one. But then I was like, this is an American podcast. Let's stick with Americans and talk about shitty ass Americans.
Let's stick to our own massacres. Listen, there's massacres all over the world. But you know what? Glass houses. You don't want to be going like, ooh, look what you do in England. You see that massacre you doing over here? Or meanwhile, it's like, yeah, what about the 50 that are happening right now?
I know. Burning right now. And then also, I just wanted to bring up the fact that like a lot of these things in these massacres are very much parallel to what's happening today. So I think it's good, like we were just talking about with the 1619 project, is we need to talk about our ugly ass past, be like, that's bad, that was gross, that happened, and then this is how we can learn and grow from it. So when James sent me that he was thinking about doing the Rosewood massacre, I was like, I want to do that though. And so he was kind enough to let me do it.
Because you know what? You are my Miss Frizzle. And I was like, I want you to take me on this journey and ride. Because like, I'm just going to toot your horn for you. Beep, beep.
Thank you.
You be taking me and us on these historical journeys. Like, you know.
I got a journey.
The Mexican-American massacres by the Texas Rangers. You did the Tulsa. Like you.
Yes.
So if there's anyone that I trusted to take me on this journey of a massacre, is you.
Thank you, James. And I'm about to take you guys on a journey. And in fact, I was going to talk about some other things in combination with it, but I just got deep dive into this.
Yeah.
So just so I can feel like a proper librarian, I did a lot of my research. I'm not going to directly quote. I'm just going to say that I pulled my research from the Wikipedia page, the history.com, which is, you know, history channel, their website on it. And also the Washington Post has a good article on that. And I will give them to James so James can post them.
Hold them
so
for
can...
myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, look at all this information. No. What am I? Tom Cotton? Ooh, I said it.
I can't handle you. All right.
I had to bring it up because I know where we're going. So I had to get everybody laughing.
Yeah, you got
to
get
us laughing and giggling. And then
we'll throw a giggle in there every once in a while.
If worse comes to worst, I'll just say titty just to
dark.
Break it up. Yeah. When it's like,
this gets dark.
Titty.
I know. This is dark. But I mean, this is just like you said before, we will handle some dark shit. And you see how it inspires amazing creative stuff. Like the Tulsa Massacre, that shit inspired Watchmen, mm-hmm. the current TV show, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
So let's get into the Rosewood
You're welcome,
massacre.
HBO.
Okay, so settled in 1845, Rosewood. It was actually settled by black and white settlers. And I want to point out this is 1845, so this is before slavery ended. So black and white people together settled this while slavery was still going on. So we're assuming that these are free black people.
And I'm sorry, where is Rosewood?
Florida.
Oh, right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So Rosewood, Florida got its name from the cedarwood trees that were all in that area. And they basically called it Rosewood because when you cut open a cedar, it has a pinkish tint to it. Mm. So essentially, Rosewood. Mm. Get it?
Cute.
Kind of beautiful, right? Yeah. And cedar smells delicious. Mm. Like, we like to put hunks of cedar in our dressers so we could be like, smell my woodsy clothes. And also, like, a lot of people spray themselves with cedar. I love the smell of cedar.
Okay.
But another thing that cedar
like, do
is
we? I don't have any cedar in my drawers.
Cedar's good. You get a sniff on some cedar, you'll be like, oh yeah, I remember this. I like cedar. Cedar is nice.
Sniffing that cedar.
Cedar is good. Also, cedar's used to make pencils.
Oh, I remember those.
Yeah, so because of that, there were two pencil mills that were built in a nearby city called Cedar Keys. So everybody's all about these cedars.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to the... I bet there's a cedar mall. I bet there's a Cedar Rapids. I bet there's a Cedar Street.
Yes.
I bet there's a Cedar Boutique.
So a lot of
Cedar
these
Cafe.
Settlers...
Last
yeah,
one.
Something, okay. A lot of these settlers in Rosewood, they worked at the pencil mill by cutting down the cedar trees in order to supply wood to make some pencils, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so by 1890, all the cedar trees were gone.
Oh, well, there you go. Nature, y'all. They didn't know about recycle, reduce, reuse yet.
No, they did not, because one thing's a fact, across color lines, humans are garbage to the earth.
That's true. That's true. They're like, oh, where'd all those trees go? Didn't plant them. Damn it.
You named everything after these trees, and then you idiots used them up.
I was going to make some pencils. Damn it. There's a bunch of pencils right behind you, but I want a new one.
I know. I want a new one. This one broken. Okay, so... So 1890s, that didn't last long.
No.
1845 to 1890, 45 years, they chopped down all the cedar trees.
Mm-mm.
Anywho, so due to this, all the cedar trees being gone and the pencil mills closing because they had no more wood to create pencils. And also remember Reconstruction, that was a failed experiment.
Mm.
And let's also remember the worst fucking president, Andrew Johnson, who is like living in a ghost of an orange shell right now in our current president.
Oh,
the two of them are terrible people. Andrew Johnson is basically the Trump of the past.
Oh yeah.
So because of this, white people felt hell of emboldened by racist administration and all of this, like loss of jobs. They segregated themselves into a neighboring city called Sumner.
And Andrew Johnson, correct me if I'm wrong, because I have some notes that are in line with what you're talking about when it comes to farming while black. But
okay.
He's pretty much the reason why the 40 acres and a mule kind of fell apart.
Yes. No. Everything. The reason why Reconstruction failed is because of Andrew Johnson's racist ass.
Yeah. There that is.
I hate Andrew Johnson because the promise of Reconstruction was so great.
Yeah. And necessary because you have
necessary.
To heal the wounds and the trauma. And we never had that. Never
we literally that. Were trying to like they there was literally efforts to try to heal that. Then here comes Andrew Johnson and he wants to wreck it like a wrecking ball.
Which, you know, and he was trying to Miley Cyrus that shit.
Yeah.
And you know what? Snaps to the people on the planning committee or the cabinet or whatnot, because to have the foresight of like, we can't just like, you know, free everybody and be like, all right, figure it out. Like there has to be a system in place for the country to support these citizens and their freedom and to sort of heal those wounds. So.
In short, fuck Andrew Johnson.
I will co-sign on that.
Okay, so back to 1890. Now we have two cities. We have Rosewood, which is predominantly black, and then we have Sumner, which is predominantly white. Mm-hmm. So by the 1900s now, so 10 years later, 1900s, Rosewood, like I said, these are the two separate cities, twin cities. Mm. They're getting along pretty great. They're actually, you know, no real havoc is going on. They're both kind of existing. They're both growing. And they actually are doing some trading and stuff like that, right? Rosewood had three churches, a school, two general stores, one of which was black owned and one of which was white owned. And I'm telling you all of these things because I'm setting up
a
scene.
Paint a picture.
So you gotta remember some of these things that I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Wright family was the white family that owned the general store.
But Wright is not always white, so we...
No, Wright with a W. We're not saying that they're right. But yeah. I mean, oh, okay. just yeah. Well, no, I'm not, you know, I'm not putting any... You'll find out about them later.
Okay.
So there's three churches, a school, two general stores, a Masonic hall, a turpentine mill, ooh, watch out, a sugar mill, and a baseball team called the Rosewood Stars.
Okay.
So Rosewood was basically like a middle-class neighborhood.
Yeah,
in one of the articles that I read, they were like, a lot of the homes had pianos. So it's like, they're just like a nice kind of town.
This sounds cozy. And in Florida, what a surprise. A welcome surprise.
Yuck. It was probably ass hot and gross too. But so there was, and it was small. There's only 200 black residents in the town.
Mm.
Okay. So, and that one white family. So.
Everybody know them. The Wrights? Yeah,
the Wrights. Mm. Okay.
Already side-eyeing them.
Well.
Okay.
Just, you know. So in 1923, so 23 years later, Rosewood was just bopping along, doing their own thing. And I just kind of want to set the scene because a lot of times we just casually bring up the 20s and the early 20s. And lately I've been really introspective and I realized in the 20s, let's just remember, United States just limped out of World War I.
Mm-hmm.
The Spanish flu.
The 1918 pandemic. Don't call it the Spanish flu. The 1918 pandemic.
And let's just remember that the 1918 pandemic was so destructive that it lowered the life expectancy by 11.8 years. That means a ton of young people died.
Yeah.
Thousands upon millions of young people died to lower the life expectancy by 11.8 years.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Yeah. That's crazy. Okay,
so it's like also no wonder the 20s were roaring because it was like,
that's what
I could die at any moment.
I literally said that. That's like the next point that I wanted to bring up, that the roaring 20s, people were fucking flipping out because they survived that shit.
Yeah.
And also, can you believe that there was prohibition? These people lasted
a pandemic, and they weren't even
allowed to have a drink.
Mm-hmm. What was that, some Woodrow Wilson shit? Also, fuck him.
That's another. Stop predicting my shit that I'm saying. Let me do my corner.
They don't call us the Wonders Wins of Podcasting for nothing.
They really don't. Bring it back. Okay, so in 1923, yes, we had William G. Harding as a president, but he had just been elected. We just got out of the Woodrow Wilson fucking racist ass administration.
Wasn't he like, I love the KKK or some shit?
Can you just let me do this?
I'm done. I'm sitting down. I'm gonna put my microphone over here. I had coffee.
Do this.
Continue.
Woodrow Wilson, he screened Birth of a Nation in the White House, and he called it history in writing or whatever the fuck he called it. But basically, he's a racist, and the KKK is the heroes of Birth of a Nation. All right? So Woodrow Wilson was a fucking racist asshole. Mm. He also pretended that the pandemic wasn't a thing.
Right.
And he actually got he got the Spanish flu too. Mm. Besides the point, who gives a fuck about that guy? Mm-hmm. We share a birthday. I hate it.
Oh.
Anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But so, yeah, we're limping out of that. So Americans were desperate because a lot of people in their family, everybody pretty much knew somebody that either died from World War I or from the pandemic. We're extremely sad because of that.
Right.
And we're extremely racist because, let's face it, when you have an administration that is saying yay to the KKK that emboldens right now people to be racist and divisive, right?
Yeah.
Once again, these are also people who probably needed a drink that didn't get a drink.
I wonder how helpful that would have been.
Or, you know, safe drinking instead of this bootleg shit that made them fucking crazy on top of that turpentine mill.
Not a good idea. Oh, let's just drink some of this turpentine. I'll mix up some cedars into this.
Okay, so all of these sad, sober, desperate, racist white people started to turn to outlets like the KKK because, you know, presidents were saying that they were fine and great people.
That seems like a right thing to do.
Yeah. And let's also not mince words. The KKK is a terrorist organization. And
what'd you say, just in case they didn't hear it? They're a what?
A terrorist organization. Yes, and you're going to hear a story of terror caused by the KKK. Okay. So the KKK was wreaking havoc across the country. And I'm not just saying the South, because the KKK is everywhere.
They were up in Oregon.
If there's white people, there's KKK. And I'm sorry, you know,
it's true. It happens.
It's a sad truth, but we just got to say it, you know? And I'm not saying that all white people are KKK. Obviously not.
But statistically, if there is like a certain number of, statistically, there's got to be, if there's a high number of white people, there's got to be some percentage of KKK. There's probably a not
chapter
far
of the
away.
KKK. Okay. So these gangs of terrorists were basically using any tiny little whisper of excuse to invoke terror against black people. And one of the biggest things, one of the biggest, tiniest little whispers of like, trouble that the KKK would use in order to inflict crazy terror on people would be to protect white womanhood. All right. In Gainesville, Florida, on December 31st, 1922, and this date is important, the KKK marched over 100 members in their hoods with a banner that said, "First and always protect womanhood." So this is in Gainesville, Florida, 50
they had a
miles
banner?
Away. Yeah.
This is planned. Like, they had a banner ready to go.
I mean, I'm
there
not.
There was no Kinko's.
I just state the facts. Planned. So in Gainesville, 50 miles away from Rosewood, on December 31st, 1922, the KKK marched with 100 members in their hoods with a banner that said, "First and always protect womanhood." Okay, so let's cue Fanny Taylor. Come on to the scene, Fanny. She was 22. She lived in Sumner. Remember Twin Cities, the white city. She had two kids, and her husband wasn't around much at night due to his like working schedule. He was, you know, it was a shitty time. Everybody had a shitty job. Yeah. So the neighbors, she's white. Let's just, in Sumner. Okay. Anyways. So the neighbor said that she stuck to herself and was very peculiar. AKA, she was a weirdo, right? People were like, even her neighbors were like, I don't know about Fanny.
She's something a little off about Fanny.
Something weird about Fanny.
And not like even in a fun Amelia Bedelia way. I bet she was also just like annoying.
Nobody talked to her. That was reported. People were like, we never got to know her. She was weird. The only thing they knew about her is that she kept clean floors.
Okay, well, I love a clean floor.
Sure, but if that's the only thing that people know about you.
Oh, yeah, that means that there's, you know, also maybe she's
nobody,
boring.
Nobody, you're weird. You. Anyways.
Oh, yeah, Fanny, she kept clean floors.
Yeah.
And, I saw her in her window once. And, she was there.
So, on January 1st, 1923, James, do you remember when the KKK marched in Gainesville?
Yes, December 31st on New Year's Eve.
Yes, so the day before, right?
Yeah.
So the day after, January 1st, 1923, Fanny's neighbor heard a scream. The neighbor picked up a revolver, went over to the house, and found Fanny bruised and beaten on her floor of her clean-ass house. Fanny then claimed that a mystery black man entered the back of her house, beat her up, and then left, which is what...
What was he there for? Did he take anything? He just was like...
He took nothing!
And he didn't know her?
He just ran in... just booga booga beat her up and ran away.
Some random black man just came in. This already has me like suspect.
100%.
You didn't know him? Does she know any black people? And she was living in the white...
No, she knew. Well, she did. She did know black people.
She was living in the white town, though.
Yeah, she was living in Sumner, which was all white. But mm-hmm. remember, Sumner and Rosewood had communications and worked together.
Yeah.
And in fact, her laundry lady, which we'll get into later, was a black woman that lived in Rosewood. Mm-hmm. Anyways, this is what she reported. She was like, some black man came in and beat her up and then he left. Anywho... In her first report, she stated that this mystery black man just beat her up. Mm. But, of course, rumors fly. And soon, everybody in Sumner started to believe that she was also raped.
Okay. Did she? Okay. All right.
All right. Now, there are now a few accounts of people that saw a white man named John Bradley leave her house.
Who that?
And it is thought that she was having an affair with this guy. Mm-hmm. They got into a fight. He assaulted her, and then he left.
Comedy and culture.
And then she lied, basically, to save her own... Allegedly, we don't know this for fact, so allegedly, she lied to save her ass from her husband and blamed it on a mystery black man. I would also like to state right now that I like that she goes by the name of Fanny because she is an asshole.
Yeah, that makes sense. That tracks. That tracks. She's living up to her name. She's living up to her name.
Now, I would like to take a quick aside. And a lot of people may think, how is this connected to right now? Now, I would like to bring up the point of a lot of the in the news that there have been a lot of AKA Karens calling the police on innocent black people just living their fucking life. I would like to say that Fanny is a great, 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 great grandmother of that. Mm-hmm. When you call the police, and I would also like to point out to the fact that there's an NPR podcast called Throughline, where there's an excellent episode called American Cops, where they track the origin of Southern cops to groups of white people that were enlisted with power to keep black people in line that later became the KKK.
We talked about it here on this show too. Bruce did like a really good deep dive on it. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, then... Essentially, you're seeing what Fanny did and how it's connected to now. Yeah. How it is violence to call the cops on us, which is exactly the same thing that Fanny did. Which is why white tears equals violence.
Yeah. When you were saying the story about Fanny and why the story that happened with Christian Cooper struck such a chord with so many of us is because... We know what's happened in other cases when white women have said something that have happened that didn't, you know, Emmett Till, you know, the list goes on, and how we know that this could have gone so much differently.
Exactly. So because of Fanny trying to cover.
I also just like to point out, like, I think it's so great that you put out like, Birth of a Nation's already been seen at this point. And a huge part of Birth of the Nation is protect the white women. The black women. The black men's going to come and like rape the white women. So why these narratives were so quick to be able to get pieced together, which is why media and storytelling is so important. Who gets to tell these stories? Because people start making conclusions based on these stories, these narratives that they've said. Of course, Fanny was so quickly able to say it was a black man who did it. And people were like,
in the national mindset at that time. It was in the ether. Everybody knew about this.
There's no data to even put that out. Black people just trying to survive. Ain't nobody trying to do nothing. We know what's at stake if we even like look at a white woman at that time period, you know?
Like, you think that with all this shit going around, you think that some black man's going to run into a house, beat a black woman up and leave?
Like, that's what he was doing on his Saturday night?
Come on. So, Fanny Taylor, you're a terrorist. Yes, so, ma'am. Moving on.
Good point.
So, okay. The sheriff created a posse to look for this mystery black man. But... vigilantes started to gather. They started to the news spread out, and then Fanny's husband, he went up to Gainesville, where you know there was that rally that happened, and gathered all of those KKK members. They came back to Rosewood, and they marched and they stalked the neighborhood looking for any black man to fight. Here's a couple of names: Aaron Carrier. So Aaron Carrier, he was the nephew of Sarah Carrier, who was the laundry woman to the tailor. So directly connected. Mm-hmm. They fucking used dogs and sniffed him out. But it's like, no wonder he smells like his aunt. They all live in close proximity at this time. Mm-hmm. So they sniffed him out. The vigilantes dragged him out, strapped into a car, drove him, and then they beat him up. Mm-hmm. But then the sheriff, you know, who probably wasn't, I don't want to say that he's a hero because he's doing probably crazy shit too. But thankfully, he took Aaron Carrier and separated him from this vigilante and put him in custody to keep him away. Okay. Sam Carter, who was another person that they thought was a suspect, but these vigilantes, they tortured him, they shot him, they hung him from a tree. Sarah Carrier, the woman who actually did laundry for the tailors, she hid 25 people in her home, which was later surrounded by these angry mobs, and a big gunfight ensued that lasted overnight with angry mobs, and they ended up shooting her son Sylvester.
No.
All of this crazy shit started happening, and the media got whiffed of the gun battle and all of the vigilantes circling Rosewood. And places like the New York Times, which thank goodness has made an about face with this 1619 report. Mm-hmm. But back then in 1923, they stated at the time that it was an example of what Negroes could do without interference.
What? That, like, wait, that what we could do, that we could get terrorized? Like
we were the ones that, we were that the started instigators? This.
Go fuck yourself.
Exactly.
Fuck off.
So this is what's, so now, you got all the KKK members from Gainesville that have come down to Rosewood because of this mm-hmm. claim. Mm-hmm. Now you got the newspapers that have caught wind of this happening. They put out reports, and now that has activated all of these sad, desperate, racist white people to come down to Rosewood and join the fight to terrorize the town and its people. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of accounts of what happened to people, but I'm not going to share anymore because I feel like that's torture porn and I don't want to do that. Just know that there's horrible, horrible accounts of what happened to innocent people in this town. The destruction started with the two churches were burned down. Houses were attacked. People were leaving. When people tried to flee their burning houses, they were shot.
Jesus.
It's just terror. Terror, terror, terror. But couple and within a terror story there's always a couple moments of okay, at least that happened, right?
Yeah.
So do you remember the one, there's two general stores, one that was black owned and one that was white owned?
Mm-hmm.
The black one burned down. Yeah. Destroyed. The white one by the Wright family hid black people.
Oh, okay. So the Wright family did the right thing.
They did the right thing.
And they were white.
Yeah, and they were white. They hid black people in their store, and then they communicated with these two white train conductors, John and William Bryce, who would shuttle the hidden black people from the general store to safety on their trains.
I think that's amazing that that happened, but I would also like to point out, this is the 1920s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Slavery's been gone for 70 years. You're talking about some Underground Railroad bullshit.
Exactly.
70 years later. And this was exactly. Just last century that this happened.
Exactly. And it's like all of these stories that I read, we're talking about how heroic these people are, but it's like, you know, they were just doing what right decent thing. People should
they
do.
They did the right thing.
This yeah. is what, they weren't demons, like right. who was basically ravaging this fucking town. Remember, there's only 200 people that lived in this town. So on this basically was from January 1st to January 7th. So a week of terror.
Good God.
By the 7th, the white mob completely burned down Rosewood with one exception. Do you know what the exception was?
Oh, the store. No.
The home of the Wright family.
Oh,
the only
right.
house.
So the
that
white
was
house stood. They were like, oh, wait, they white. Okay, I won't burn that one down.
Just to kind of prove a point of how racist, how this is just the terror against black people.
And this is, again, one of many historical stories.
Oh, yeah. There's
about
many of these.
Massacres against non-white people in this country. People who are just trying to live their life, do their own business. And this is why you go back to, like, y'all, lucky that all black people want is equality and not revenge, because that, like, look what has fucking happened and how black people have been vilified and so scary. White people are scary. White people have done some really fucked up, scary shit to themselves, to their community, other communities.
I mean, not to minimize this and not to trivialize it, but it falls down to whoever smelt it dealt it. It's all these people claiming we're awful terror people when really it's you.
Well, it's like what Agent Orange tries to do all the time when he tries to tell how, oh, they're corrupt, or, you know, that the Clinton Foundation, there's something sinister going on over there. Everything that he's saying is because it's what he does, and he's either assumes everybody else is already doing it or is just saying, essentially admitting to everything that he does.
Exactly. So along with the train that shuttled black people out, a lot of black people escaped through the swamp and hid in the swamp until this week of terror was over. And nobody came back to Rosewood because it was decimated and it was terrifying. A grand jury and prosecutor were assigned to investigate the violence, but they claimed to not find any evidence. Amazing.
Because it was all burned down. What about the bodies? What do you mean there's no evidence?
They even interviewed 30 people, white people. And they're like, this is just...
We don't know what happened. They just all left. I guess they burned down their own stuff.
This is just what happened. Damn it. And so they reported that only 8 people died, 6 black people, 2 white people. But testimonials say that they saw mass graves, and it was more likely upwards of 27 or more black people died.
Yeah.
So a lot of people died. And a 200, this is a tiny ass town, 200 people.
I mean, even 8 is too many for that to have happened. These are American citizens. Where was the government to protect them? And this is, again, just in the roaring 20s.
Awful. So, okay, let's fast forward hella years. Mm-hmm. So in 1994... a bill was passed that awarded $2 million in restitution to the descendants of the massacre and also gave free tuition to any college in Florida for the descendants.
Ah, reparations.
Also, John Singleton made a movie in 1996 about this event.
I was going to shout that out. I have been wanting to... It's one of those movies that came out in a time period when, like, I'm a kid. I'm not in that space to go and see it. 1996?
Are you kidding me?
Right, yeah, but now I'm like, it's on my list to go back and watch that movie because I think it's such an important story to look back into.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Okay, so I wanted to give a quick little... There's a great article, current article in the Washington Post that was written in April. So here's an excerpt. Because a lot of times we think about, like, oh, there's reparations and what we can give back. But I feel like this quote from the article really kind of demonstrates the weight that can be put on it. Okay, so it goes... Okay, so more than 25 years after the law passed, Morgan Carter slumped over a textbook on December, and finals were approaching. She was most of the way through a 6-year program to earn a pharmacy doctorate, one of the school's most intensive programs. She closed the textbook and then opened it up again. "I can't mess this up," she said. "If I mess this up, I mess this up for my cousins, for me, and for people I don't even know." So just kind of letting you know, this is generational trauma. Mm-hmm. This is something that is passed down. And even though she gets a free ride to college, it's not a carefree ride.
No.
It's a ride with weight and pain and hurt. And this is something that all Black Americans are feeling. You know, you can even be a Black immigrant in this country and you are feeling the effects of what Black people have endured, the terror, because it's written within the subtext of all the systems that we maneuver through on a daily basis. And this is just based off of appearance. Mm-hmm. How insane is that? Mm-hmm. So anyways, I thanks for letting me do this corner, James, and I hope that we can learn from this bullshit, because a lot of the same themes are cropping up again. People are sad. People are desperate.
Yes.
People are racist.
Well, and it's starting to pop up. You reminded me of when Black Lives Matter hit a rural town in Ohio. I forget the name of the town. And a few people were going to gather for a Black Lives Matter protest. They were mostly white because the black residents didn't feel comfortable going. Mm. And the white residents had done a Facebook Live post of like, they're not bringing Black Lives Matter to here because they're going to try to burn it all down. And they showed up with their guns and it got really intense. And the police didn't do anything to try to mitigate any of the tension. And it's just like, wow, we're here again.
Here we are. Yeah. Here we are, 100% here again, didn't learn our fucking lesson. People will do anything.
It's just
anything
about 100 years later, actually. Same characters are involved, you know, a racist president, a pandemic, and but we know what to do this time, and we are awake, and we are aware, and we're not letting them come for any of us.
Fuck no.
And just like that, that's the show. Wow, there we are. Don't have much of a fact check for you this week because, I mean, when the librarian is here, the facts be on point. One little correction, I kind of made it in the episode, but just want to make sure that we refer to the pandemic of the 1918 pandemic as the 1918 pandemic. Not to be confused with the Spanish flu, which was just xenophobic propaganda, right? So not the Spanish flu, but the influenza that they're experiencing. And as we are wrapping up the third week of the Maximum Fun Drive, I just wanted to thank all of our members for supporting this show and the other shows here at Maximum Fun. We are all just so grateful and really blown away by the just love, support, and camaraderie that we are experiencing. And, you know, many of you are going through, so many of us are just going through so many things. We are in the middle of a pandemic, civil unrest, really crazy leadership. I have talked to a friend of mine who's in his 60s, so he's seen it. And I'm like, he's never seen it so bad, just with all the things that we're having to deal with at once. And he's lived through a lot. So we're with you. We're going through a lot. And so just knowing that given everything that's going on, that you're still able to become a member. And for even those of you who aren't, you're listening and that's supporting the show. And you can also, you know, write a review. If you want to participate in some way, you can definitely write a review wherever you listen to this podcast at. Share us out on social media. Anything that you do, it is supporting us in the way that you are. So just thank you to everybody who is out there on the front lines doing the work. And we just really love you and we appreciate you and glad that we're able to be here and being able to create this show in a way that's authentic. And, you know, we're audience supported. We are supported through you. So it's really great. And that this indie network, we're not beholden to anybody except you all. And you allow us to be able to have the freedom to create the content that really speaks to us and is authentic and just doing what we do. And that's why you're here. And that's why we love you. So if you haven't had a chance to become a member yet, you can do so. Just go to MaximumFun.org/join. And you can join me Saturdays at 2 p.m. Pacific. I teach dance via Zoom, pop star style dance. This month, every month we learn a new routine. This month we are learning the Pussycat Dolls React. There'll be a link to the free registration form, free class. Donations, tips are welcome, but you can sign up for free to get the Zoom link. I will have that in the show notes. So come dance with me. It'll be fun. 5, 6, 7, 8. Let's go. And that's going to do it for us for this week. I love you all so much. Thank you for listening to Minority Corner, because together, we're the majority.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.